This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Question we're asking you today is about, do you feel comfortable talking to a robot or a chatbot about your mental health? Why or why not? We have a poll running over on Instagram and on Twitter. We have around 60-something percent of you saying no, you would not so far. 33% of you saying yes, you would over on Twitter.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. And some more tweets.
Yes. So we've got at Arun Aryan says, pros, a robot doesn't know how to disrespect anyone's feelings. True. But cons, robots have no emotion. So fair
that
enough.
That is true.
And we've got another tweet here from Ramli Sirap who says, my wife says if she wants to talk to a robot, she'll just talk to me.
I'm sure she doesn't mean it. Or maybe she does.
Well.
But Maggie Best echoes something along those same lines where she says, before last night, I wouldn't talk to a robot because of the usually restrictive response. Mm-hmm. However, after last night's experience with a customer service personnel, I think there is an increasing trend that there is no difference between the human and the robot.
Oof.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Ouch.
Those are those times when you want to speak to a human being, right?
Yeah.
And I've often found, you know, when you do it on the phone line and you get those automated responses, you can press zero and that will take you most of the time directly to a customer service representative. But I also fairly recently discovered that even though you are on hold, they can actually hear what you are saying. Did you know that? And a lot of people, when you start swearing and whatnot, will hear you doing that and will often escalate it and pick up that phone to answer your call.
Oh.
Yes, right, Christy. We've all been right?
We learn something new every day.
Yes, don't we just? Don't we just? Anyway, let's move swiftly along to story number three. And this is something that I really found interesting.
Yeah.
And it's all tied into the same kind of topic. And it's an article we first picked up on The Guardian. It's a robot kitchen that will make you dinner and wash up too. So it's the ultimate kitchen gadget you never knew you wanted, but it will cost you right now about the same as an average UK house.
Oh my goodness.
Right? So this is one of those things that you know, you've got a super rich person, friend, and they ask for a wedding present, and every single person at the wedding and all of their relatives and all of their family and everybody else all chip in together to buy them this one gift. It's ridiculous. Nobody's going to have one of these yet. But it, as of the launch, it knows 5,000 recipes at the touch of a button. It's by a company called Moli, and it's the Moli Kitchen Robot. It's the brainchild of a Russian mathematician and computer scientist, and it promises to make restaurant standard meals without its owner having to lift a finger or even order a takeaway, coming in at a steep £248,000.
Oof.
Roughly the same price as an average UK house. But so far, they've had a bunch of sales inquiries, around 1,205 inquiries. And what we are looking at is the world's first consumer robot kitchen. And like all breakthrough technologies, whether it's car, a television, and computers, it's going to appeal to enthusiasts, professionals, and early adopters if it's priced accordingly. They anticipate the pricing, of course, will come down a lot more. The robot has been developed with the assistance of Tim Anderson, a culinary innovator and winner of the 2011 series of BBC's MasterChef. Now, what is interesting about this thing is that what it does is it mimics what you do in the kitchen. That is how it learns. So you make your dish, the robot essentially watches you, and then it remembers what you have done. You then push a button, walk away, and it mimics exactly what you have done.
I don't know that would work for me because it would spend an hour chopping vegetables.
But that's fine. What it will do then is it will, let's say you're chopping a carrot and,
right.
and it takes you 5 minutes or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
It's a robot. It's going to look at that carrot and say, I can chop that much faster. Zip, done. Right?
Right.
So that's how they're working right now. But it also brought to mind a whole bunch of questions for me. You know, of course, we talk about this move into automation
mm-hmm.
and about people losing their jobs and one thing or another. And what this guy goes on to talk about, because you know, he gets asked this question, you know.
Right.
if this goes into the restaurant business or something, you got to look at like sous chefs and line cooks and prep cooks and dishwashers and all those kind of people who have these jobs already. This robot can do all of those things at the same time. And his argument is, look, you know, there are jobs in the kitchen that people don't want to do, right?
Yeah.
And they only do them because
you have to.
You have to, and it's money, right? So if that job is then taken by something else, it frees up that person to go off and do what it is that they want to do, which is a wonderfully holistic idea and a little bit kind of...
I think...
No. People have a job to earn money, right?
Yeah.
And you're still removing that job away from them.
Yeah.
But what the other questions I had was, what about stuff like safety? I mean, this is a robot.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be picking up kitchen knives.
Mm-hmm.
It potentially is cooking for your family. You've got small children running around, and mm-hmm. there's a robot like something from the future flashing a knife, cutting a carrot in like a split second.
Yeah.
I would be worried about that, right?
Yeah. Also because, I mean, in a way, like there's plenty of kitchen gadgets out there that can help make prep easier.
Right.
If you so wish. You know, there's stuff that you can, I mean, instead of chopping carrots, you could probably grate them and
right.
that might make it easier or blend,
yeah, yeah.
you know.
So what this guy is saying is it has like a safety feature where you pull a screen around it, a glass screen, and then it goes off and does its work.
But also a glass screen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going back to the small children problem, right. that's right. not going to
But it
help.
Says it locks the small children out. Only the person with the correct bio print can open this thing and whatever. It's very futuristic.
I would like some prep work, I think, to be automated just because, you know, in terms of, you know, efficiency and safety, it is helpful, right?
Right,
you know?
Right.
But I don't know that anyone would want this in their house.
Really? I mean, can you imagine walking into your house and first of all you say, hey, Google, switch on my lights. And then the second thing is, hey, kitchen, make me a turkey sandwich.
But here's the other thing.
Or, you know, or make me hummus and whatever.
You're also talking to someone that, although I don't cook particularly often, I do enjoy it. It is
right.
therapeutic, you
yeah.
know, and there's stuff that, you know, a robot can't do for you. It's stuff like, you know, getting your like mise en place and
yeah.
having that everything prepared and all nice
yeah.
and then
yeah.
the smells and like and knowing that you've created a meal for like your family and the satisfaction of that. You
yes.
know, robots can't replace that.
I agree. But imagine if you've got a family recipe that, you know, your mum has learned from her mum and her mum. Just imagine for
mm-hmm,
a second.
Mm-hmm.
And you teach it that robot. That robot then has that forever and can then pass it on to anybody.
My argument against that is a robot can never aga-aga, okay? If you're talking about my mom's recipes, that's all it is. That's the true magic of cooking.
That is true. But yeah, there we go. I mean, this thing is available right now for £248,000. But then the price is going to come down. And I can see this being used in seriously big industrial kitchens. I think that's where we're going to see stuff like this.
Maybe.
Gourmet prepared meals by a robot. It's not that far off, is it?
Yeah.
So we've had mental health and we've had robots cooking for us. There's going to become a stage where we're not going to have to do anything.
We're going to be like those blob people in WALL-E.
In WALL-E, right?
Mm.
Time for us to wrap up. We'll leave you with those thoughts. If you're only just joining us, it's the end of the show, guys. Where have you been? But if you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast and listen back to it at your leisure. I recommend it using the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play, or you can listen back to us on Spotify. The votes haven't really changed because Twitter seems to be still having a problem. 66.7% of you saying no, 33.3% of you saying yes.
The votes on Instagram haven't changed, but that's not because of the problem. The ratios just stayed the same.
It stayed the same,
so
right?
So it's just, 75% say no and 25% say yes.
And our stories of the day were?
So the first story was about, would you talk to a robot or chatbot about your mental health?
Mm-hmm.
The second one was, 4 questions to keep working parents and everyone else mentally fit.
And the third story was, do you want a robot to cook for you, clean for you, and do its own dishes after it's finished? A robot that washes the pots. Time for us to wrap up. Before we go, though, don't forget, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay with John Pearson. He's the global CEO of DHL Express. And whilst many businesses were decimated by the pandemic, one particular industry thrived globally despite border closures and lockdowns. The global logistics industry has seen exponential growth as e-commerce exploded and more companies started digitizing. The Breakfast Grill spoke with John Pearson about how DHL Express has navigated the pandemic and its strategy for expanding market share amidst stiff competition. All coming up after the 1 o'clock news. To take us there, it's Judas Priest, Living After Midnight, here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.